finger on Purim, so we used to dress up, and we didn't buy costumes from the costume store, but we would make costumes at home. And one year, when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, I decided to dress up in a toga. And in order to manufacture that toga, so we had, my mother's a pediatrician, and she has those long rolls of paper that the doctors put onto their waiting room, onto their exam room tables. So I took a big, you know, section of that roll, and I cut it off, and I put it, you know, over my shoulder, and so the front was hanging down in front, and the back was hanging down in back. And of course, it was a four-cornered baguette, and the question of the day is, does it require tzitzis? You know, on such a paper toga, or are paper togas exempt from tzitzis? I think another year I dressed up as a Kohen Gadol. I was probably a little bit younger then, right? But once again, it's the same basic idea. If you're manufacturing big day kahuna out of materials at home, so you're going to take a piece of cardboard, of oak tag, of thin paper, and you're going to draw the choshen on it and whatever else you're going to do. But if you're going to make a four-cornered beged, so does it require tzitzis if it's made out of paper, or perhaps it's exempt? Another interesting question. When I was little, one of the books that I enjoyed a lot was Marcus Lehman's The Count of Kusi, which is about one of the Baalei HaTosfos, whom, according to legend, was appointed to be a nobleman by King Richard the Lionhearted after rescuing King Richard from captivity at the hands of the Muslims. And so one of the big scenes in the book is when he comes in and he's wearing his coat of armor. I'm not sure whether it was chainmail or whether it was regular armor, and his visor is down, and the rest of the scene, those of you who are familiar with the book will remember it. It was one of the climactic scenes in the book. But the question again becomes, if a person is wearing, let's say, clothing that's made out of metal, whether it's metal sheets or whether it's chainmail, so would such clothing, if it has four corners, be obligated in tzitzis or not? Now, these cases are a little bit far-fetched, but they are much closer to home cases, which depend on the same set of questions that these more exotic cases depend on, and that is tzitzis that are made out of synthetic materials, tzitzis that are made out of materials that originate from oil, like nylon and rayon and various other things, that these are all oil-based products. I'm not exactly sure how you get from the oil to the threads or the fabric, the material that you make these things out of, but they're based on oil. And so there's a very, very similar question. We'll see in a moment what is the similarity, what is the common denominator between paper and metal, whether it's chainmail or whether it's sheet armor and nylon and rayon. But that these three issues are really very fundamentally linked. And before we can see anything else, so just let's review the context, right, that we've encountered up until now this week. And then from there, we'll proceed to reading today's piece of Gemara. And then the analysis will focus on the connection between today's Gemara and the previous Gemaras that we've seen this week, and the three questions that I began with. So keep in mind, on Monday, we pondered the status of cotton, of silk, of other non-wool and linen materials, and was there unanimity about their status, or was there machlokes? Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rava, which is reflected amongst which groups nowadays, who takes one side, who takes the other side? The Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Right, so the Sfardim say that cotton and silk are biblical midiraisa obligated, or midrabanan? The Sfardim say that it's midrabanan. The Ashkenazim say that it's midiraisa, and so that's what we have with regard to cotton, with regard to silk, with regard to other natural materials. Shouldn't say natural because metal is natural also, but with regard to other materials that grow from the ground in the same way as linen, which are not wool and are not linen. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we analyze the question of linen itself. Right? Is linen itself, does it require tzitzis? Does it need tzitzis? Should you put tzitzis on a linen garment or not? And there we saw that it was a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. where the Balei HaTosfos maintained that it says Sadin Bitzitzis Pater. Balei HaTosfos read that literally, in other words, that literally Sadin Bitzitzis Pater means that a linen garment is exempt from tzitzis. So Tosfos said, don't put any tzitzis on a linen garment. As opposed to Rashi, who interpreted tzitzis as simply a synonym for techeles. And so the Braisa meant to say, don't put techeles on a linen garment, but certainly do put white linen strings on a linen garment. There's no concern of shatnez over there. And so that was the status of linen garments that we encountered on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Today, as I mentioned, we're going to turn to metal, paper, synthetic materials. But in order to do that, we need to look first for a little bit at the status of leather. So we're on Daf Mem Amud Beis. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihyeh B'Dvaro. The sugya that we're about to approach seems to be a little bit out of place, seems to be placed here almost by happenstance. We just finished talking about linen, and suddenly the Gemara is going to talk about a garment where the main part of the garment, 51% of the garment, is made out of one material and 49% is made out of the other material, or the center is made out of one material, the corners are made out of another material. The connection, right, is a little bit hard to grasp. If you look at the beginning of the Gemara, where we are, that is 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the last word on the line, the Gemara says, V'amar Rava. Now the Vav of V'amar Rava gives something away. Vav is always a connecting letter, which means that there's something that connects, right, what went previously with what's about to follow. And so we need to think for a second about what the connection is. In this case, my guess would be that the previous statement, or previously in the Gemara, on the second line, last word on the line, you'll see the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Hamilsa Amri, I said this, V'itmar bimar Rava, Mishum de Rabbi Zeira Kavasi. And in Eretz Yisrael, they said, just like me, in the name of Rabbi Zeira. And here, right, on our seventh line, we have the same thing. V'amar Rava, Hamilsa Amri, I said this thing, V'itmar bimar Rava, Mishmei de Rabbi Zeira Kavasi. And so perhaps at the simplest level, what Rava is, what the Gemara is coming to do by putting that letter Vav there, right, is out to say that Rava and Rabbi Zeira thought along very parallel lines when it came to Hilchos Tzitzis. Rava was advice to a halacha that Rabbi Zeira said in Eretz Yisrael. What is it? What is this halacha that Rava said and was mechavin to Rabbi Zeira about? He shall beg it. Let's say that the cloth of the main garment is beged. What's a beged? Linen or wool. You have that's very counterintuitive. Beged is clothing. Clothing. Why is the word beged being employed here? What is it echoing that would have been familiar to everyone writing and reading the Gemara? Right, but four-cornered garment, and where's garment, where's beged, the word that's used for garment?
It's in
davening.
Yeah.
In davening? In Shema? Al-Kanfei Vigdeihem L'Dorosam. Al-Kanfei Vigdeihem L'Dorosam. So beged is the word that the Torah uses to describe a garment which is obligated in tzitzis. Is, by the way, is that the only word that the Torah uses to describe such a garment? Kisus, excellent. Like gedilim taselach, you should make these braided things for yourself. Right, al kanfos, al arba kanfos kisuscha, asher techaseba. So a garment which is obligated in tzitzis is described in the Torah both as beged and as ksus. If here, for some reason, we're using the word beged and not the word ksus, I'm not yet sure why that is so, but it seems to be that some interpreters understand that that's an important, it's an important selection, that we chose beged and not ksus. So he shall beged. Hmm? Ksus is something that covers you up. Conceivably, it's a broader category than beged. Right? And again, the postgame talk about beged as being the defining, right? Something needs to be a beged in order to be obligated in tzitzis, conveniently leaving aside the fact that a ksus is also chayev in tzitzis. So that may be worth keeping in mind. So let's say that the garment is made out of beged, it's made out of beged material, and kinafeha, the kanfos, right, exactly, are made out of or, which is leather, hide, animal hide. So you have a, let's call it for the time being, a wool garment, and the corners are made out of animal hide, out of leather. So says Rava and Rabbi Zeira, chayeves, that such a garment is obligated in tzitzis, in spite of the fact that the tzitzis themselves will be affixed to leather. The tzitzis themselves will not be made out of leather, right? The leather is probably not kosher for tzitzis, but nonetheless, we treat the corners, the leather corners, as being tafel, as losing their identity to the majority of the garment, and so it's almost as if they're not leather corners on a wool garment, but they're leather camouflaged as wool on a wool garment. So they lose their identity. They become almost like honorary pieces of wool because they're so negligible. They're just the corners. The garment, the wool occupies more than 50% of the garment. You've got the robe, you've got the miut. The miut is batel, the robe, so to speak, even though it is distinct. Right, it has its own place, but we'll treat it as being batel berov, and so it is chayeves betzitzis. We'll treat it like a beged, which is chayev in tzitzis, rather than as a or, as a leather, which is presumably potur from tzitzis. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to read the next line? So again, I'll get you to where I want you to read. So if the garment is made out of let's say beged material, the corners are made out of leather, it's chayaves. If it's he shall or, if the garment is made out of leather and kinafeha shall beged, the corners are made out of garment material, so then it is petura. My taima, what's the reason? Take it away. Ikar beged ba'inon. So the min, right? The min kanaf, right? It's kanfos bigdehem ledorosam. And so we define that, meaning when we talk about min kanaf, right? It's really min kanfos bigdehem. So is the kanaf the ikar, or is the beged the bigdehem the ikar? And Rava and Rabbi Zeira say that ikar beged ba'inon, that we follow not the kanfos as much as the big dehem, that you need, right? Okay. However, says the Gemara,
both. Because if you have even a cloth beged and all the three corners are rounded, no problem. You don't have to wear tzitzis. So really, it's like a double requirement. The two requirements, one that has to be cloth, and the other has to have corners.
So. Yes. Yeah. Right. The question is, right, meaning why
do they have to be made out of cloth and not, can they be made out of leather?
Okay, well that's a question we're going to deal with after we're finished reading. But Mr. Amster has a very local question, right, to the Mr. Rabbi. Okay. So it's a local question, and that is when the Gemara says that we follow the ikar beged, what happened to the drasha of min kanaf, that the tzitzis are supposed to look like the leftovers of right, the edge of the garment, and in this case, the edge of the garment is leather, and so min kanaf would demand either leather tzitzis or nothing. Right, so that's why, again, the word ikar as opposed to tafel, right, suggests to us that the ikar of the beged defines the material of the whole beged and even of the kanfos. We don't look at the kanfos in terms of their chemical makeup, but we look at them in terms of their identity, which is a much more fluid and abstract idea, a much more fluid and abstract category. The identity of the kanfos is subsumed under the identity of the ikar baget. But that's not a unanimous opinion. We do paskin that way, but it's not unanimous. So read the next line. Rav Achai, Azio Basar Kanaf. He went after the corner. In other words, he said that if the corners were made out of leather, so then the garment would be patur from tzitzis. And if the corners were made out of baget, even if most of the garment was made out of leather, it would still be obligated in tzitzis. Okay, so this is the Gemara, and it's almost like, as an aside, right, that the poskim point out that the Gemara is assuming that leather is exempt from tzitzis. Very strange. Why would leather be exempt from tzitzis?
It's called beged. Beged of, or beged ten of
is that?
In Metzora, it's a beged. It's a beged. I'll give it to Matthew.
It's made out of leather. Again, if it sits, it's made out of leather.
You use wool.
So
why not? Why can't you have leather tzitzis?
How can you have leather tzitzis?
I'll get it.
You cut the leather up.
And then you
wind one string of leather around.
Then you could tell the difference between tzitzis and film.
Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I could do it in the Big Day Kahuna. So they had metal. Right? One of the types of thread that we used for the Big Day Kahuna was metal thread. How do you have metal thread? Right. Well, you make the leather into a very thin sheet, and then you cut it into very thin strips, and that's metal thread. That could be important as well. Also, what do we have here?
It's all baget.
It doesn't call it a baget. Listen to these psukim. We'll take a vote on this, okay? Mr. Ben Chaviv is telling us that from the following psukim we can infer that leather is a baget. Listen, it's a baget. When there's tzaras on a beged, whether it's beveged semer, a wool beged, or whether it's beveged pishtim, a linen beged, or whether it's bishti, on just the warp of the beged, or be'erev, or the weft of the beged, the ones that are, one of them is vertical, the other is horizontal, la pishtim vilat samer, for linen and for wool, or in leather, over chomeleches, or anything that's made out of leather. So, again, there's an emphasis here. When a beged has tzaras, whether it's a linen beged or a wool beged, or whether it's the horizontal part or the vertical part of a linen beged or a wool beged, or in leather, or in things that are made out of leather. So does that tell you that leather is a beged, or does it tell you...
No. Yeah, it could be a beged.
Let me make the question more. It's a question of grammar, question of punctuation. Do I read it like this? Veha beged, a beged, when it has tzaras, right? Whether it is wool or whether it is linen or whether it is leather or whether it's any derivative of leather. So then the following halacha would apply. Right, now that, you could have had that. You could have said, when a beged has tzaras, whether it's a linen beged, or whether it's a wool beged, or whether it's a leather beged, the following halachos apply. Right, now, and it could be that is what the pasuk means, but it's not what the pasuk says precisely. The pasuk says precisely, when a beged has tzaras, whether it's a wool baguette or a linen baguette, or whether it's the warp or whether it's the weft of a linen baguette or a wool baguette, or whether it's leather.
The point is, in leather you don't have shti or erev. That's why he has to say or kol melechato. Yes, leather is more than just a baguette. But it doesn't mean it's not a baguette.
No, it's more, or it's...
Actually, you've got a problem. No. Read what Rabbi Shmuel says.
Let's go to the psukim before we go to
Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, hoyel v'nemar begadim b'torah, stop. Uprak lach ha-kasav v'echad mehem, tzemer u'pishtim. I've called tzemer u'pishtim. And Rashi says, where was it, prak? Gabi negayim. So, you're gonna have to... Well, understand that Rashi.
So does the dinim tzaras apply to something leather that's not a baguette?
They do apply to leather.
Even when it's not a baguette?
Presumably, if leather is not a baguette, so then they must apply to leather that's not a baguette. Mr. Ben Chaviv is arguing the leather is a baguette.
Well, that was where I was but using that as an index of whether it must be a baguette or not.
That's a good point, because it talks about how it's made. It's not the baguette, or it's made different than the first. It's not weave.
Right, okay, so we're going to get to the characteristics for a second, but we're trying to find out from the psukim, right? Meaning, I'm going to go through this at a couple of different levels. We're going to talk about this at the level of the psukim, of Chumash. We're going to talk about this at the level of the Gemara, of sources in the Gemara. We'll talk about this at the level of logic to a certain extent, at the level of the Klali Psak Halacha. There are many, many different levels to go about it, and Mr. Ben Chaviv has launched us, you know, decided that the first level should be to analyze the Psukim and see what do the Psukim have to tell us about the halachic status of leather garments for tzitzis. And so, again, the argument is that if you read the Psukim by Tzaras a certain way, you may get the conclusion that leather is a baguette.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know, what does the Torah have to write to your Erev? Every semer and every other product except leather is the Erev. What's it coming to teach us?
If it's only in the chassis, one or the other.
It's not that. How do you make clothing if you don't have shti v'erev? Except leather.
There's a discussion. What happens if the chassis of is wool and the erev is leather? So is that garment chayv and tzitzis or not?
Is it such an animal?
Why not?
I've never seen anybody make one.
Okay, so there's room in the designer industry for a new product.
Even today's time, nobody has ever.
Leather is very popular. Imagine if you made a wool leather combination.
Maybe you should offer it to the Chinese.
The poskim, yeah. So the poskim talk about this. What happens if the warp is leather and the weft is wool? So let me start at the beginning.
I didn't know that the above means connection.
In the Gemara?
Or.
We're in the psukim. So it definitely does mean or, right? Rabbi Arfi is correct. It means or, right? It means or, right? Not or, but or. Okay, that's where I'm going to start from in a second. But let's just finish the analysis of Tzaras here. So the question basically is like this: do we read it as follows? Habeged, right? There's a beged, right? Then I'm going to put a colon after beged, and then I'm going to list all the things that are included in beged, such as right pishtim and semer and or and meleches or and maybe shesi and eirav also, meaning all the things this or that or that or that or that or that or that, and they're all right included in this category called beged. Right? Or should we say that no, because in the immediate environs of that word beged, right, we have a repeated emphasis on semer and pishtim, right? Beged semer gets its own beged semer, beged pishtim gets its own thing, and then we repeat again shti and erev, the warp and the weft, and then again we repeat la pishtim velat samer, and then afterwards we have o be'or, o bechal meleches or. So I could read that as the following: when a beged has tzaras, or when an or has tzaras, right? Because beged seems that the psukim, by the way it groups the pishtim and the tzemer, seem to be grouping those very tightly together with beged. So beged will mean pishtim and tzemer, and or, right, might be something separate. It's beged or which have tzaras, that the following halachas will apply to them. It's not that a beged means pishtim or tzemer or ar or malachas ar, but rather that either a beged or an ar or a malachas ar that have tzaras have the following dinim. Okay, now, just while we're on this, so I'll point out the poskim, bring other instances where the Torah seems to be more explicit about categorizing leather as distinct from beged. So I think it's in the context of, right, Tuma, but it's even here in Tzaras. I'm going to read you another pasuk in the parasha of Tzaras. It says,
distinct not from beged, distinct from tzemer or pishtim.
From beged, right? Because
you can make a beged out of or also. It's not distinct from beged. It's distinct from tzemer or pishtim.
That's the alternative.
Who says you can make a beged out of or?
You just mentioned yourself. It's in the Torah.
No, but we're giving two different readings of these psukim in the Torah. It could mean that you could have a beged out of tzemer, pishtim, or, or it could mean you could have a beged, or you could have an or. And they both are subject to the laws of tzaras.
Or is a raw material. It's not a clothing.
Leather.
Or shabahima.
Leather jacket.
Right, whatever.
Right, so can a leather jacket can get tzaras.
It means that it's made out of the skin of a behemoth.
Right, so let me just, we'll do it like this. Okay, we have, we've got beged, right? And beged, right, we could read the pasuk like this, beged, right, which includes tzemer, shtim, or, and malachas or. Right, or, right, we could also do it like this. We can say beged, right, which includes tzemer and pishtim, right, and we also have, right, or and malachas or. Now you've got the same words here, beged, tzemer, pishtim, or malachas or, right, but there's clearly two different types of punctuation. You could have just one colon followed by a string of commas, right, or you could have a colon followed by a comma followed by, right, whatever this is, a slash or a semic, right, and then another comma. And if you do it the first way, so then R, right, is on the same plane as Semer and Pishtim. They're all included in Beged. If you do it the second way, so then R is different. Now, what would lead you to suggest one way or the other? So this way, you've just got the whole list of O's, right? Beveged Semer, O Beveged Pishtim, O Vishti, O Ve'erev, O Ve'or, O Ve'chol Maleches Or. So you've got just this list of O's. Each O is going to represent a comma, this or that or the other thing. It seems to read straight. However, right, if you look at the words, not just the O's, but the words in between the O's, so you'll discover that you've got this, beged. Then it says, beged tzemer. And then it says, beged pishtim. And then it says, shasi, and erev. And then it throws in almost a gratuitous, la pishtim vela tzemer. And only then is it followed by, over or, over chomaleches or. So perhaps, the fact that we describe tzemer and pishtim as beged tzemer and beged pishtim, and the fact that we separate between these two and the or maleches or by talking about the shti and the erev, which in and of themselves are not so significant because those are only pertain to the tzemer and pishtim, but then we throw in again la pishtim vela tzemer, so perhaps that is the equivalent of a slash or of a semicolon, and so we're not reading or as being part of beged, right, but we're reading R as being a category unto itself, which is parallel, not to Tzemer and Pishtim, but which is parallel to Beged.
So if you want to say that the Nachamina is for these two, is that's whether a Beged is completely R, which has cloth corners, or is completely cloth and has R corners, is that where we're going here?
No, we're talking now, we're done with the Gemara. We noted that the Gemara assumes that leather is exempt from tzitzis, that leather is distinct from beged, and now we're trying to figure out where does that come from? And why is the Gemara assuming that a leather garment is exempt from tzitzis? And after all, why should leather be any worse than cotton or silk or other non-semer and pishtim garments? And so one suggestion, Mr. Ben Chaviv's suggestion was, let's look at the psukim and see how the Torah defines the word beged. Does beged mean anything that's worn? Or does beged mean things that have certain other characteristics as well? Okay, well, we'll get to Kasnas Ohr in a second. I was intending to get to it even earlier. Yes?
First of all, Rashi says that Beged, Rabbi Shmuel's thing about how it's repeated, is that he says that it was prat only one, in one place, or two places, that Beged is Semer and Pishta. And it says, first of all, Beged Kiev or Neged Saras, but Beged Semer or Beged Or. Sorry. End of Pasuk. And then it goes Oi. Oi Oi Bahor. Okay. Second, it says Yurakra, Oi Adamdam, Babegan. Okay? Stop. Oi Baor Baor. Obviously. Secondly, Oi Bushi, Oi Bear, Oi Bechol Kli Or. Kli Or is called a kli, not a beged.
Mm. Yeah, but you say obeor. You see, that's the third reading, and really the what it is. Beged, temer, pishtim, and or.
Oh, it's kli also.
Stop. Beged or means it's a super, not only beged or, but even a tarmil or anything else made out of leather also gets sarad. That's the key. Or melechet or. So you would say that according to this reading, beged, Semer, Pishtim, and O, which is your clothes, which is a beggar. And O is a super one. That even.
Okay, good. Adkan, I want to close this part of the discussion, not because it's not exciting, not because we can't spend another hour on it, but because we want to, there's other dimensions of this sugya that we need to cover. So let's turn for a second to the people who are militating for the Kasnos Or. Right? When Adam Arishon sinned, so God made for him kasnos or, for him and Chava, vayal bishem. Now, what are the kasnos or? Right, there it's written one way with the aleph, which means light, right? But it's pronounced or. Right, for those who pronounce the ayin, properly, there's a big discussion in the Mefarshim. What exactly was it that God manufactured for Adam and Chava to cover them up after, in place of the fig leaf? But many Mefarshim do understand that he made a leather jacket, or a leather bekesha, really, right? So, all of those designers, up-and-coming designers in the audience, pay attention, because there's awesome ideas here in the Gemara and the Poskim. So, leather bekesha, that's what Hashem made for Adam and Chava. And why is that relevant? So there's a correspondence between Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, Rabbi Binyamin Zilber of famed Refusnik, etc., fame, and Rabbi Nassim Gishtetner, the Enochel of the Chasam Sofer. And Rabbi Binyamin Zilber wrote, he said, I think that the reason that leather is exempt from tzitzis, and this should be something familiar, is because in the times of the desert, nobody wore leather. That so far is not such a controversial statement, right? Okay, you could say people were wearing linen, they were wearing wool, maybe they were even wearing cotton and silk, right? We established that silk was around and available in the time of the Dor HaMidbar, but they weren't wearing leather. And so that's why leather is exempt from tzitzis. And then he goes on and says, but, right, let's say that leather became a material that people started to wear more frequently, then perhaps it would become obligated in tzitzis. Right? In other words, just like we saw by Ituf, in the time of the desert, so to be misateif meant to cover up your head. And so perhaps when it said that you're supposed to be misateif, michaseh, right, you need to put tzitzis on a garment that you're michaseh yourself with, that to be michaseh means to cover up your head. But nowadays, we said to be mechaseh does not mean to cover up your head. And so even garments that we don't use to cover our head can be obligated in tzitzis. So along those lines, says Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, in the times of the desert, a beged, right? Beged simply means clothing that is normally worn did not include leather. Nowadays, perhaps, a baguette would include leather, because the idea is that the type of material that's usually worn requires tzitzis. That's his interpretation. And based on that, he wants to say that synthetic materials will also require tzitzis, because people wear polyester and rayon and nylon on a fairly regular basis, and therefore he wants to say that because nylon is normally worn, it's going to be obligated in tzitzis. This was a letter that Rabbi Binyamin Zil sent to Rabbi Nassan Gishtatner. So, a descendant, I'm pretty sure. So Rabbi Binyamin Zilber said that the defining characteristic of leather, right, leather just represents the category of materials that are not normally worn. And so it's not a question, yes leather, yes beged, no beged. The question is it normally worn or not? And on that basis, we might say, right, nowadays, that nylon, yes. Paper, probably not. Chainmail, not anymore, maybe in the Middle Ages. Right, it's a varying standard from generation to generation, from place to place. Now, this is probably the most far out of all of the different opinions about what the defining characteristic of leather is. And Rabbi Gishtetner writes back to Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, among other things, how can you tell me that leather was not normally worn? Right? Even you're pointing at that specific historical, you know, generation. But God made kasnos or for Adam and Chava, presumably, right, that was something that was worn. And and the halachos of tzaras talk about leather, right, that's worn. And so it's very hard to say that what defines leather is that it was not worn in the desert, right, when there seems to be a fair likelihood that leather was worn or might have been worn, right, in the desert. And so we kind of don't really accept this. Rabbi Gishtetner does some interesting things with parallels to Hilchos Shabbos. He talks about what about cutting leather or sewing leather, and Hilchos Tumah, and whether leather is a whole bunch of parallels. But fundamentally, this is the controversy. Rabbi Binyamin Zilber said, if it's normally worn, so then it's a baguette. If it's not normally worn, then it's like more like an or. That's what the defining characteristic is. But we generally don't accept that. So what do we accept? Right? What is the more authoritative definition of what it is that leather represents, and why it is that leather is not included in beged? So there's a couple of different variations, but Rav Moshe Feinstein, based on the Levush, Rabbi Chayafi makes the following argument. What defines a beged, right, is similar to what Mr. Ben Chaviv said earlier, that a beged is something that's manufactured out of shasi and out of Erev. It's something that's usually made out of a warp and a weft. You take strings, right? You spin the strings, you weave the strings together, and you've got a beged. So the defining characteristic of a beged, right, is... that the beged is woven. Leather, right, is not woven, right? So we'll call it here, we'll say the defining characteristic of leather is that leather is not woven. Now, on the surface, if you look at this, so this will tell you what's the halacha of of nylon? Is nylon woven or not woven? It's woven. Leather is something which is not woven. Nylon is something which is woven. So therefore, you would think, right, that Rav Moshe would say that nylon is obligated in tzitzis. He doesn't say that. We'll have to figure out why he doesn't say that in a second. Right? What about all of these things, right? Now, what about metal?
What about a place to break?
Okay, plastic raincoat is very important because plastic raincoat is also manufactured out of
sheep. Oil, resin.
Right, so again, plastic raincoats are made out of oil, and nylon and rayon are made out of oil. Right, but they're obviously very different from one another. And part of the question is, do we care more about the raw material that we say that all oil-based garments have the same status? In which case, we may drag the raincoat after the nylon or the nylon after the raincoat. Or can we say that no, that they're two different types of materials, and then we'll treat nylon by itself and the raincoat right by itself? Because raincoats are not woven. Okay, so this is basically a machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that all of the oil-based products need to have one status. So in other words, if the defining characteristic is that a garment which is woven is obligated in tzitzis, it's included, it's considered a beged. A garment which is not woven is like leather and is exempt from tzitzis. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, let's take a look at the oil-based products. So you'll discover that some of them are woven, and some of them are not woven, and we need to give one status to all of them. Right? Because they all stem from the same raw material. Says Rav Moshe, oil-based products are more similar to leather than they are to wool and linen. Because wool and linen, it is impossible to make a wool or a linen garment without weaving. It's impossible. And so that's a defining characteristic of wool and linen. Leather, it's not that it's not woven, right? But rather, says Rav Moshe, how should I write this? Doesn't need to be woven. So Rav Moshe says, okay, so this is the defining. It's not whether or not it's woven, but it's whether or not it needs to be woven. Oil does not need to be woven to become a baguette, right? It could become a plastic raincoat without ever being woven. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, even if you were to choose to weave it, that would not make it into a baguette. Now, Rav Moshe brings an interesting parallel. He says, let's say that you took leather, right, like Boaz suggested earlier, and you cut it up into little strips, and then you wove the strips together. Would that require tzitzis or not? So you would think, right, for the Tzitz Eliezer, well, it's woven, right? So it should require tzitzis. For a Moshe, it didn't need to be woven. You could have made the leather into a jacket without cutting it up and weaving it, and therefore, for a Moshe, it would be exempt from tzitzis. I'm going to leave it at that for now. It's more a little bit more complex for the Tzitz Eliezer, but let's leave it at that for now. So let's just figure out for a second, what's the status now of armor, right? If you were the Count of Kusi, right, and you wanted to know whether your armor was obligated in tzitzis, metal, so what would you say, let's say, for the Tzitz Eliezer?
It's not woven, it's not woven.
It depends what type of armor. There are those that were woven, there are those that are
made of a certain material.
Kevlar.
It's not metal. Kevlar, right?
It's not woven.
That's
right, so I would say if it's sheet armor, if it's sheet armor, it's almost certainly exempt according to everyone, because how do you make sheet armor? You cut out a piece of metal and then you right. But if it's chain mail, I'm not so sure, right? Chain mail is sort of like something that's woven. You put one thing in and one thing out and one thing in. Well, not quite woven, but it approaches being woven, and so you could argue according to the Tzitz Eliezer that maybe chain mail would be obligated in tzitzis. But I'm not 100% sure, because weaving means in and out and in and out and in and out, and chain mail, so it's just circles, right? Each circle is connected to the circle on its right, and the circle on its left, and the circle on top, the circle on the bottom. It's not as clear to me that, but it definitely is similar to weaving. What about paper? Right? What about my paper toga? Would that be chayiv in tzitzis according to the Tzitz Eliezer? How is paper manufactured?
Wood. It's pulp.
Okay, so let's figure out. Now we have to ask, is pressing pulp chain mail? I already said I wasn't sure whether that's considered weaving or not. What about pressing pulp together? Is that considered weaving or not?
No, it's not.
Why not? What's the difference between weaving and pressing pulp together? Okay, there is no chassis ve'erev. So let's work for a second over here like this. We need to now define what is the meaning of woven. So one definition might be warp and what is it? Woof. Warp and woof is one definition. Right? However, there is a second definition that's advanced, a little bit more of a broad definition. Right? Again, keep in mind, leather is not woven, which means that it's a sheet. It's a sheet. That's what it means, leather is not woven. Well, you don't have to have something that's made out of warp and woof in order to avoid being a sheet. In order to avoid being a sheet, all that you need is that it has little components, right, that are attached together. No, a sheet doesn't. A sheet, you've got a hide, an animal hide, and you just cut it into a shape, and there you go. You got your leather jacket.
And paper?
So paper, though, you have these little pieces of pulp, right, which are soaked and then pressed together. So each little piece of pulp, right, is something separate.
But it's not woven.
Hmm? Well, it depends on how you define woven. Woven means that you need strings and warp and woof. So then paper is not woven. But if you understand that woven simply means that you have minute components that are attached together, so then paper would meet that requirement. It's made out of little components that are all attached together.
So the same thing goes for plastic then?
Does it go for plastic?
Could they come from small pieces of pebbles that are managed, melted together.
I thought it's made out of oil.
No. So they give you when you make plastic bottles, you take all these small little pebbles, pellets they call them.
Yeah, but the
original. You put them into a machine and it melts together.
It's oil.
Yeah.
But the original oil.
But it's just the process. The point is, it comes from oil. They make the pellet in order to transport it. But you don't need. You can go directly from oil all the way to a plastic bottle in one shot.
So again, this may depend a lot, not only on how we define things, but also on how we understand the process. Let me ask you, is oil composed of little droplets of oil, or is a lake of oil, right, considered to be a single unit? I'm not 100% sure, right?
Everything are made of
atoms. Yeah, I apologize. We're gonna try to cover all the different bases in the next 5 minutes. I may move a little bit quickly here. What about felt? Felt is made out of wool, right, or linen or some other material, but it's not a warp and a weft. So those of you who said that paper is exempt from tzitzis because it doesn't have warp and woof, so that you ought to say that felt is also exempt from tzitzis. Now that already would be a little bit more novel, that felt is exempt. It doesn't have warp and woof, it's just press together very hard. That's a little bit more novel. In other contexts, right, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ravid, about whether we treat a felt garment the same as a woven, as a regular garment that has warp and woof. Right, there are grounds to say that felt is the same. In Hilchos Tumah, there's discussions about felt being the same as warp and woofed garments. So So to say that that warp and woof is necessary for something to be woven is perhaps a little bit difficult. I would make a different distinction though between paper and felt, and that is, where does the pulp for paper come from? From wood. So let me ask you something. Is wood like metal? Like, could you make, let's say, a sheet armor out of wood?
Wood is a fiber.
Wood is a
fiber?
This table is made out of fiber?
It's a fiber. Yeah. It's a pulp, like.
You go to a tree, right? You're not going to find strings in the tree.
No.
Right? The tree is a tree. It's a solid block of wood. Now, it could be that on a molecular level.
It's a grain thing, though. It has a grain. It's a fiber.
We are not talking about plywood. We're talking about oak wood.
Yeah.
It's a piece of wood.
Wood has a grain.
No, it has a grain. It's not a fiber. It's not an individual fiber.
Yeah, so this is something I was wondering about. If paper is made out of wood, so then paper is more like metal. Metal, you could make it into chainmail. You could make it into sheet armor. And according to Moshe, right, once it doesn't need to be woven, it's already going to be exempt. And so the chainmail is exempt because you could have made the metal into sheet armor. So I would say that maybe, right, a paper beged should be exempt because you could have simply hewn the beged out of the tree, even though that would require a little bit of carpentry. But right, but you could have done it theoretically, just like you could make metal into sheet armor, and therefore perhaps the paper should be exempt. In contrast, felt, it is impossible to manufacture something out of the raw materials of felt without taking little components and attaching them together. And therefore, felt is perhaps more likely to be obligated in tzitzis than paper is. Let me just check to make sure that I've got everything. Those are more or less the main points, and I promised you also that in addition, right, we would go through some psukim. So we saw the psukim about saras, right? Do we say beged, colon, right, semer pishtim, or do we say beged, colon, semer pishtim, right, and then comma, or semicolon, or slash, and then or? The psukim are somewhat inconclusive about this, right? That's how the poskim seem to treat it. What about the kusnos or? So we saw Rabbi Binyamin Zilber's definition that leather means something not usually worn. By that definition, all these synthetic materials that are customarily worn nowadays, including the raincoats for Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, right? He's not suggesting it lahalacha, but he was asking why not, right? And so those would be obligated, but we generally, most, I think he even accepted Rabbi Gestetner's reply to him, and so that's not the definition. What is the definition has something to do with woven, but there's a machlokas from Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitz Eliezer about what exactly, right, what exactly doesn't need to be woven means, or not woven. Is it something which right now is not woven, so that the raincoat for sure is exempt, the chainmail is the sheet armor is exempt, but perhaps chainmail and perhaps nylon and rayon would be obligated? That's the position of the Tzitz Eliezer. If it's not woven, it's exempt. But if it is woven, then it's obligated. Or